Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right. $25 a month? Every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, welcome back to Waveform. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
And I'm Andrew.
And this podcast, the whole point of the podcast, if I just rewind all the way, zoom all the way out, is so we can talk about the stuff that we talk about in the studio anyway. Now, that happens to be tech all the time.
Because, most of the time.
Yeah, we're into tech, and that makes a lot of sense. But we're also YouTubers, and we talk a lot about YouTube, and we talk a lot with fellow creators. So Jimmy Donaldson, a.k.a. Mr. Beast, is someone you've probably already heard of if you're in the YouTube world already. But he's someone I've known for a little while. And for the maybe three people listening that don't know the Mr. Beast channel, how would you describe the Mr. Beast content?
I was trying to think of like one word, and at first I thought extreme. That kind of feels like extreme sports, but just like all his videos are like to the extreme.
Yeah, extreme. I wrote down variety, but also he basically invented like the extreme challenges type of genre.
Yeah, like, because I don't want to just say it's like all philanthropy stuff, because we all know him now as like giving stuff away all the time. But I think the first thing I remember him doing was like counting to 100,000 or spinning a fidget spinner for like 10 hours live on YouTube.
Exactly. I think that's I think maybe the best way to do it. I'll read some of his latest titles and what's happening. I survived 24 hours straight in ice. 39 million views, by the way. I Ubered people and let them keep the car. 30 million views. Would you rather have a Lamborghini or this house? 45 million views. Last to leave this $800,000 island keeps it. 58 million views.
I feel like this is like if there was a more fun version of the Guinness Book of World Records and it was all on one channel and it was one person pretty much doing all of it.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. So obviously he's a major face on YouTube, but like every time I talk to Jimmy, it's always fascinating like the way his brain works and like processing what makes good on YouTube, what makes a good video, what makes a clickable video, what makes a good strategy on YouTube. And it's kind of all he ever thinks about. And it's every time we talk, it's like kind of all we could talk about all day long.
I mean, and he has the credentials for it too, because it's got to be the biggest channel on YouTube for like probably at least the past 2 years. I mean, When I was editing this, I realized that I'm not subscribed to him because I just thought I was subscribed to him because he is on my front page all of the time and I still watch all of the videos anyways. That's just how gigantic he is.
How dare you?
Sorry, Jimmy.
So we talked about that. We talked about YouTube strategy. We talked about building a team the way we are here at the studio. It was a fun conversation. I also asked him sort of about how he'd apply his own philosophy to other genres like tech on YouTube. So kind of the fun thing about these conversations with creators is no matter where you're at, like if you're a creator who's just getting started making videos or if we're even thinking about starting making videos, or if you already have thousands or millions of subscribers, these conversations are always pretty useful in some way, and especially with someone like Mr. Beast. It was fun. Figured I'd record it. It's a fun chat. So without any further ado, here's Mr. Beast. All right, Jimmy, they call you Mr. Beast, but let me just give the full intro. So 51 million subscribers on the main channel, Mr. Beast. There's Mr. Beast 2, Mr. Beast Gaming, Mr. Beast Shorts, Mr. Beast Reacts, Mr. Bro, and Beast Philanthropy, co-founder of Team Trees, which has gone over 20 million trees planted around the world and once ran a marathon in the world's largest shoes. Jimmy, Mr. Beast, thanks for chatting.
Thank you for having me. I love how I joined a Zoom call literally 30 seconds ago. We're jumping right into it. I love the energy. All the things he listed is true. And just, I love YouTube. I love making innovative content. And it's just kind of gotten to the point where my videos have gotten so expensive that I've had to build other channels or other companies to kind of fund my videos. And yeah, just lots of fun stuff to talk about. So I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, 100%. I'm definitely going to talk about a lot of that stuff. First of all, you should definitely start a podcast talking about like YouTube and like what happens behind the scenes. I'm sure a lot of people would listen to that, would watch that. I know we could talk about it forever. But I guess if I just start with like your creator, you mentioned innovative content. What does your like next year on YouTube look like?
Okay, so I'll give a little brief overview just in case, a lot of your audience doesn't watch me maybe. Basically, videos that we did last year were like we bought a few $100,000 firework. We lit off the world's most expensive firework. As he mentioned, we walked a marathon in the world's largest pairs of shoes, which is one of the most brutal things I've ever done. And I've counted to 100,000. I've done a lot of stupid things, but like my feet were out of commission for like a week after doing that because each shoe was like 5.5 pounds. It was crazy. And so just kind of like out there stuff like that. But we also do feel good stuff like going to a store and buying everything in the store and donating that stuff to a food pantry or homeless shelters. And I'm drawing a blank, but there is a lot of stuff like that as well. So it's really all over the place. And one of the things I'm trying to figure out is like, how do I I need to be able to describe what I do better. Cause it's like right now it's just kind of like I wake up and I'm like, that seems really cool. I feel like people want to watch that. I should go do that as long as it's like, good and helps people. But I feel like with Elon, how he's trying to make humans multiplanetary and what his goal is. I feel like that's really cool and I want something like that. But anyways, don't want to sidetrack too much. So for this coming up year, just everything and anything. Like I said at the start, we're trying to go bigger and bigger. And, there's only so much I can make on a brand deal or selling merch on my main channel. So we recently started a gaming channel, which is now up to like 200 million views a month. And that's been going really well. And I have a few other channels I want to get up and running. And my goal is just to build other channels, other companies. Like we launched a nationwide restaurant and that's been going really well. And just have all these things just funnel money into my main channel so I can afford to just burn money and just focus on making the best videos possible. And then Beast Philanthropy is, and there's so much to, like, talking about it now, I'm like, man, like, no wonder I'm always stressed out and overworked. I got so much stuff going on.
Do you have like a job description? When if someone asks you, like, if they somehow don't know and you have to explain what you do in like one sentence, do you have like
I would say we just try to do spectacle content. I mean, if I were to break it down to simplest form, that is essentially it. Because everything I'm doing points back to the main channel. And just one last thing in this brief synopsis that's all over the place. I have ADHD, you probably can already tell. But I went through that phase like a lot of people who come into money early on in their life and bought nice clothes, like expensive clothes and nice car and stuff like that. But I realized like obviously that doesn't make you happy. I feel like more and more people in the masses are starting to realize that. So with philanthropy and stuff like that, I've just been really enjoying just helping other people and giving away money and things like that, which is stuff I'd love to dive into. Because if you're listening to this and you think some materialistic object's going to make you happy, it won't,
You heard it here first, or maybe second. I agree with you. There's just so much stuff, man. I don't know where to start, but...
You lead me, because if you leave me on my own, I'm just going to veer everywhere. You guide me.
Okay, hear about... Let's just talk YouTube for a bit. So I know when I'm making a tech video, I'm so in the tech world of like how to make a good tech video. Mm-hmm. I make the video. The video's finished, and as I'm uploading it, I am creating the title and thumbnail. I imagine that's probably not how goes at Mr. Beast Productions.
You're going to trigger me if you keep talking like that.
What is your, I imagine, how many, is it every video that you do title and thumbnail first?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because at the end of the day, you know, if someone doesn't click a video, they don't watch it. You know what I mean? If your video has 10 million views, that means 100 million people saw it and 90 million people said, yeah, it's just not interesting enough. I'm just not going to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, you easily could have got more views if the... And it's not just the title and thumbnail, which, and I can dive deep into it, but if the video was just more interesting in general. Because a lot of CTR that people don't account for is also, like, what was the viewer's experience with the last video they watched? You know what I mean? Like, if I clicked on one of your videos, because you obviously make good content and you put effort in, I'm going to be more likely to click your next video, no matter what it is, just because I enjoyed the previous one. So that has a lot to do with it as well, but... yeah, I mean, why would you? The one thing that decides whether or not, you know, 10 million or 50 million of those 100 million people watch your video, why would you not, you know, plan on that beforehand and make that an integral part of the process? It's still...
I mean, I work on it. It's a solid part of the process, but I feel like knowing how big of an impact it has, it probably should be an even
In your case, you should literally make the title and thumbnail before you even film the first shot of the video. And you should be like, all right, is this actually good? Do I like it? Because the thing is, and now I don't want some people to misconstrue this and think like, oh, well, you don't do what's great videos. You only do what's clickable. But the thing is, if you truly are creative and you have a plethora of ideas, like hundreds or thousands, like you brainstorm an hour a day, you come up with a dozen videos a day, you do that for a year, you know, you have unlimited ideas, then you have tons of options, right? But, you know, if you just only do videos on a whim, and I know not you because you're more tied to tech and that dictates what you do, but just people in general, especially people more like me, it one thing that would help is if you had more ideas, because if you only have three and none of them really make a good thumbnail or whatever, then you're going to be like, well, these are great content, da da da. But if you just have like hundreds of great ideas, then you have more options to choose from. You can choose the ones that are great content while also interesting, if that makes sense.
Right. No, it does. If we stick to like the click-through rate talk for a second, so we have, like, we're lucky enough to have a connection with YouTube, and we get to actually talk to them about what YouTube does, but I think a lot of their algorithm is still kind of a secret sauce. So we know some things are true, and we know some other things that we like kind of think are true. Do you have any unconfirmed theories about the YouTube algorithm, the way it works? Like, you mentioned the performance of the previous video will like directly affect the next video just based on the channel behavior, the audience behavior on your channel.
Yeah.
One I have is like, I this almost doesn't matter, but I feel like I've never seen a channel with multiple videos that are both on trending for more than about 4 hours, because it seems like as one rises, the other gets kicked off. Do you have any other random unconfirmed theories?
Yeah. Well, I mean, your theory makes sense because, you know, there's two videos sitting up there. People would be like, YouTube's biased. You know how much trending scrutinized. For me, let's see. Because for the most part, just so everyone knows, my view on the algorithm is I feel like it's actually pretty well optimized. I mean, if a video is clicked and watched, which is literally all YouTube could want, they typically do well. It's very rare that I see a video that actually like is interesting and like great content that doesn't blow up. You know, like sometimes it takes a few months or even like a year, but eventually they do get views, right? The algorithm's really great at matching the audience with the content they want. But no, not really. There's nothing really weird like that. Like when we start a new channel, if we make a video that has good AVD and CTR, it just, you know, slowly does well over time.
Just for those who don't know, that's average view duration and click-through rate. Just to fill everybody in. Do you ever have a video that like randomly gets like scooped back up by the algorithm without you changing anything about it?
Yes, 100%. And I'm not even going to act like a know-it-all. I have no idea why it happens, but yeah, if we popped over my channel, you'll just see videos like I had this one video 6 years ago. I don't know, I was a teenager, I was stupid, but I just uploaded a video titled like "Get this video to 1 million views." and for like 5 years it had like no views, getting like a view a day. And then someone posted it to Reddit, which was kind of funny, and it got like 10,000 views from Reddit, whatever, again, nothing crazy. But and then like 2 days later it fell back down to like, you know, basically no views. And then out of nowhere, it just spiked up. And it was just like 50,000 views a day, 200,000, 500,000. So That was something I noticed not too long ago. It looks like the external traffic to the video kind of got it like re-indexed, and the algorithm was like, oh, this video exists. And then it started promoting it.
Yeah, it's weird how that works. Like, there's a couple of old videos that actually do it repeatedly. Like, one of my earliest videos, again, like you mentioned, like you're a teenager and you made a dumb video. Yeah. Like two or three of my earliest videos ever. So it's like a squeaky 12-year-old kid.
Yep. I know what you're talking about because I get them. Every time those pop off, they're on my homepage.
I don't know why YouTube picked those, but they are very persistent about those couple of videos, which is funny.
Well, to help give a little context, I mean, when I see those on my homepage, I click because it's like, you know, a smaller, younger version of you, and it's just really intriguing. It's like, you know, how did that turn into what he is now? Like, let me click, let me watch. This is interesting. So it makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you ever change anything about videos like significantly long after you've published them? Like, I never change, well, I won't say never. I think of all my 1,300 videos, I've changed the title after I upload maybe four times. Mm-hmm. I almost never change the thumbnail, or maybe I add some links to the description, add some tags or whatever, stuff gets updated. But do you ever like make major changes to a video after it's already sort of performed in the first couple of days?
Yeah, definitely. To anyone watching, if you're trying to be a YouTuber, you're in luck. I'm basically just telling you everything I've spent my entire life researching. So, I do my best not to say things that I don't think are true, but obviously. So for changing thumbnails on older videos, yes. Basically, and you should always be improving your thumbnail game, like just always, you know, and it's the same with you. Like if you watch a video a year ago, you probably are like, yeah, there's so many little things I could have done better. Like this could have been better paced, the music could have been better, whatever, better quality. And for me, it's the same way with thumbnails. You know, when I make them, I think they're amazing. I'm like, there's nothing that could be better. And then like, you know, 6 months later, as I learn new tricks, I'm like, what the heck is this? Like there's shadows on my eyes and this sucks and the background could be brighter and cooler. So it's usually stuff like that where I just like see my video and suggest and I'm just like, what the hell was I thinking? Like, let me just fix that up. You know what I mean?
Go in and upload a new thumbnail, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or just sometimes I'm like, I just completely hit the, miss the mark. Because the thing is, if you change a thumbnail on an old video, it doesn't matter if it's 5 years old. If the CTR goes up, like you said earlier, click through rate, then YouTube will promote the video more. So 100%, I've done it multiple times with other people, and I've seen it happen a bunch where like people go through and they change all their titles and thumbnails to just be more interesting, not to be misleading. And their back catalog passively got way more views per day just because they changed it.
That's a good little pro tip. Go back through your catalog and actually like give it some thought about how they could be better and improve those.
Here's
those
a numbers. Super pro tip. If you really want to optimize it, you should grab like 3, 4, whatever of the smartest people you know, right? You know, obviously if you have 10,000 subscribers, you're not going to be able to, you know, get one of us, but just like that, you know, personally, go reach out to other YouTubers around your size and then have like a weekly mastermind where that's what you do. And like the first week have all four of you like go through and just rip apart all your titles and thumbnails. And then the next week do it for one of them. And the next week, one of them, because like it is helpful to get other people's opinions on things like this that could just be. There's just so many unlimited possibilities for things you could do and titles and thumbnails. And like some people just have different experiences and they've done different things and they think about different things. So getting their perspective, you know, they could be like, oh, put a helmet on that guy. And then you'd be like, oh, yeah, if he had a helmet on, it would look cooler or whatever, you know. And so it's always good to get other opinions.
Yeah, I'll second that. We all have our own little communities. Even inside of tech, there's people we all talk to each other and we sort of. We don't necessarily have a brainstorming thumbnail session, but maybe we'll add that to the list of stuff we talk about. I'm going to ask a question that I don't even know if this is a Mr. Beast question, but we'll see. I kind of feel like I already know the answer, but you ever upload a video that's like within an hour, you can just tell it's tanking right away.
Yeah.
It's not performing the way you thought it would. What would you do about it? Or what have you done about it?
Well, in the past, I would ruin my day. I mean, I'd be the saddest person on the planet, especially like if we spent, you know, months working on the video and tons of money. But, you know, as I've matured and you know, I'm 22. And so now that I'm a little bit older, I think it's really, you just got to look at it objectively, right? Is the title as good as it can be? Get 10 people's opinions. Is the thumbnail as good as it can be? Get 10 people's opinion. You know, YouTube does have a built-in editor. So you go, is there anything I can cut out, you know, that will make the retention better? to ask 10 people. And then after that, just move on. You know what I mean? Like, there's not much else you can do. Just those three things. And then if there are things you messed up that you can't fix, write them down and just like put them on a wall, put them somewhere. Like, and next time you film a video, remind yourself of it and just make sure you don't do it again. And, you know, that's really all you can do.
Yeah. Do you, so the business section, the business behind a YouTube channel or a series of channels in your case is really interesting to me. Do you look at videos, let's say on the Mr. Beast channel, on like a per project basis? Like, I need this video that we've been working on all month to get X views, or mm-hmm. it's not worth what we're putting into it? Or is it like a monthly basis, or are you always subsidizing from other channels, or is it all these things?
Well, for the there's a lot to unpack there, but for the main channel, my goal is just to make the best content possible. Like, I don't necessarily look at a video that we're about to film and go like, oh, like, if this doesn't get blank views, or I might jokingly, but at the end of the day, it's just like, I just want to make the best content that I think the most people want to see. And I don't even care if it makes money. I don't care if it's profitable. I don't care how long it takes. I just want to make the greatest videos possible, because I know like that by having that mindset, like, people won't get bored of it, right? And if I'm losing money and I'm putting, you know, countless hours of my own time, and I have a team also pouring tons of hours into these videos, and they're just so... And not just creating them, but then we're also pouring countless hours into just thinking of them. And, you know, we're pouring, probably spend more time editing our videos, you know, our team, than any other YouTuber. I mean, because some of these shoots, we have like 10 cameras with 24 hours of footage across on each one that we have to shift through. And if we're doing all these things that just logically don't make sense, no one else will ever do that. No one else will ever put themselves through the hell that is creating a Mr. Beast video. I mean, it's fun, but it's also, you know, a grind and a lot of work. Then like, there's just no doubt in my mind that, you know, we won't fall off, you know what I mean? Cause you know, why would you watch someone react to TikToks for the 10th time when you can watch us, you know, a video project we've been working on for months and poured $1 million into?
Yeah. That's something I actually see as a similarity between our channels. There's not a ton of similarities, but the one thing that we've worked on for years in the tech space, now that there's a billion tech channels, is we intentionally do a lot of things that we know are hard to replicate, whether it's in cinematography or depth of research or just making a great video.
Yep.
But that's part of the thought process, is making something that's difficult to replicate. And I feel like no matter how far back you go on your channel, like, you counting to 100,000 or just any, literally any of your ideas, you look at that and you're like, well, no one's ever gonna do that. No one's ever gonna get to that. How long does the average Mr. Beast video take to make now?
Oh, it depends. I mean, and it does, what even quantifies time, right? Each idea takes countless hours to brainstorm. And, you know, some of the harder ones, like the world's largest firework video, we didn't just launch the world's largest firework. We also launched a $40,000 firework and three $10,000 fireworks and like hundreds of other fireworks and even like 1,000 small ones. And we had the world's largest, the little sparkler mural in it. And we also had like a 1,000 drone light show. It's like, it's good. So these videos are so much bigger than just like the main events in each video. So, I mean, those take, you know, like a team of people months, quite literally months. I wanted to film that firework video in 2018. And the firework company told us we had to give them a 2-month advance. And so, and we only had a month. And so we dropped the project. And then I revisited it in 2019. I'm like, all right, it's 2 months ahead of time. I want to make this happen. I want to, you know, light the world's largest firework. And we were working on it. And like after a month of working on it, it was just like too much. So we had to end up dropping it. And so I'm like, 2020, after 3 years of wanting to do the world's largest firework on July 4th, I was like, screw it. Like, we're going to just start working on this like 4 months in advance. And we just threw the budget out the window. We were just like, I don't care. I'm tired of waiting. If I have to go another year, I'm just going to jump off a bridge. Like, just make it happen. And I mean, it's like videos like those, an unfathomable amount of time and effort. And like that, even though it looks like we filmed that in one night, because there's so many fireworks, that was 3 nights of 12 hours of filming to get them all launched, because there were so many. So like, we would start filming like Monday night, like from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., sleep during the day, Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And so everything. And then you go to editing, and I mean, we're working on editing videos with a team of editors for a week plus. And I mean, those are brutal. And then the thumbnail titles. So these, like, especially the bigger ones, I mean, I can't even put into words how much time they take and money. But there are some smaller ones, like when we do hide and seek, hypothetically, last one found, wins $100,000. Like, those aren't as crazy. You just got to secure a location and, you know, set up cameras and stuff. And so those types of videos, you know, we can pull off in like 2 weeks as opposed to months. And so it's good to have some of those mixed in. So my team isn't having to go 100% like all the time. But yeah, basically a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. You just mentioned like, you know, 10 cameras, 24 hours of footage. I'm just thinking like, all right, that edit by itself is going to take me a couple days. And like,
just to watch the footage.
Yeah. Just to watch over everything and like pick the good spots.
Which is why we have editors that work with our lead editors that just comb through footage. Like, there are people whose job is to just watch absurd hours of footage of ours and just grab the good parts. Just so then our real editors can start like actually assembling it.
All right, that's a great segue into like building a team around you that can like help you do the stuff that you want to do. I'm kind of in the midst of maybe the biggest expansion of the team we've ever had, which is a lot of fun, really exciting. You get a little nervous about like, is it going to work? But I feel like we have such great people that there's no way it doesn't work. But as you build this team, because I feel like most people don't know how big your team is and like what all these people are doing. How do you think about that? Like, how do you build a team? How did you start building this team? What's your hiring philosophy?
Yeah,
I copied your Google Doc strategy, but like,
I'll just go all the way to the start. So I started when I was 13, and from 13 to whatever, I think 18, 19, it was all just me, filmed, edited, ideas, all that stuff, 100% me, just, you know. But there came a point where the videos I was doing by myself were getting so hard and so difficult that I was going from like uploading 2 times a week to like 2 times a month to once a month. And I was like, crap, man, like at this rate, I'm gonna upload once a year. And that's where, you know, 19-year-old me was like, I just can't keep doing this. Like, I gotta figure out something. Either videos gotta get easier, I need more help. So then, you know, one of my best friends from my whole life is Chris. And then two other of my friends, I just called them. I was like, guys, like, I want to keep doing bigger videos, but like, I can't on my own. I'm overworked. Like, can you guys just quit your jobs and come help me? I swear, like, we'll figure it out. And so that's how it started. Just three of my friends, they had no idea what they were doing. I had no idea what I was doing. They had no knowledge of YouTube. And they're just like, yeah, whatever, we'll just do it. And so we started like that. And then, I was just bringing on like a person a month and scaling up. And, you know, I would be like, yeah, definitely, like, you know, 5-6 people, that's plenty. And then, you know, as time goes on, my natural ambition kicks in. I want to do bigger videos. And I'm like, well, crap, now the uploads are going down because the videos are getting bigger. And so we just keep bringing on people because it's just not physically possible to do what we do without a big team, especially at this point. And so, yeah, now we have a few dozen people. And, yeah, it's definitely not easy. It's, one thing is there's not many, at least in my case. I feel like for people like you who have videos that might people from other industries might have a little bit more experience with, that it might be easier. But for us, like, no one really has experience, like, you know, whatever, figuring out how to, I hate to keep referencing the rocket one, or I guess a better one would be how to make the world's largest shoes. Like, how do you do that? You know what I mean? I'm actually going to pull up my channel so I can stop referencing that one video over and over again. It's been a lot of homegrown training and like our newest videos, buying everything in 5 stores, like, or putting 1 million Christmas lights on a house. How do you even get 1 million Christmas lights, right? So it was a lot of people that I personally just had to just train up myself. Like I said, you can't just find someone that just knows how to do those things. Like, it's like, hey, you just quit your job, come here. I swear to God, I'm going to teach you everything I know. I'm going to just pour all my knowledge into you. And in 6 months, you should be semi-good at buying 1 million Christmas lights and doing the weird things that I do. And so it's been a lot of that because, like, people who come from other production companies or other parts, a lot of times they just don't get it. You know what I mean? They're like, why are you doing this? This doesn't make sense. It's not even profitable. I'm like, exactly. Now let's do it. You know?
You can't put like something on your resume that will be like well understood, that you would know how to edit a Mr. Beast video or like do the things that you guys do. It's like not, it's unprecedented basically is what it comes down to.
Exactly. So it's a lot of just finding people that are coachable, hardworking, and just really just want it. You know, because we also work pretty crazy hours, but and then, you know, the ones that really grind, I try to do my best just to reward them well. And it's one of the things I'm most excited about as we do grow and in the future, really just rewarding the people that help me get where I am.
So you said a few dozen people, which is like that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Do you find, is part of your job like being a manager slash boss kind of thing? Do you find like that's taking a lot of your time?
It's everything.
Videos used to take a lot of your time.
There's so much. And I honestly, just to anyone listening, like I wouldn't advise you try to go down the path I'm going. It's a lot. Unless you are just so head over heels on YouTube that you just can't envision a world where you're not, and you just don't have this never-ending desire just to make the best videos possible. Like, it's a lot. I mean, it's so stressful to build a company and build other channels and spend all this money and taxes and just, you know, like, it's just doing one of my videos is just a large nightmare, and then trying to do them consistently. But frick, my ADHD kicked in. What was the original question again?
No, that's basically it. Is like, you spend a lot of time like,
oh, yes,
being the boss.
Yeah,
you told
yeah.
me Steve Jobs is one of your sort of idols, and I feel like that comes into play here.
Yes, exactly. No, and that's the thing, right? I am hyper passionate about YouTube and creating content. And for the longest time, I was like, yeah, you know, I'll just bring someone in and they'll manage my company or whatever, but that never ends up working. So yeah, if you want to get to the skill, you have to just learn how to be a good CEO, learn how to inspire people, lead them, you know, I mean, just everything, how to disseminate information, how to train people up, all that stuff. That's just like, it's a whole new world to me because this is my first real business that I've ever ran. It takes up an unfathomable amount of my time. It's just learning how to be a good leader. But yeah, that's obviously what's, it's more, if you have hypothetically 20 people, you know, you can get more done by being able to just, you know, effectively communicate with them and give them proper vision and putting those 20 people to work than you ever could by them just running around like chickens with their head cut off and you just working hard. You know what I mean? So it's obviously something you got to have in your skill set.
Definitely. It's something I'm trying to add to my own. So I love the your master plan is so open. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll pay some bills and we'll come right back.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously, hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for Waveform comes from Coda. So it can be tough to stay organized when your team is spread across time zones. With Coda, you can help keep your whole team on the same page with an all-in-one collaborative workspace that brings together the best of documents, spreadsheets, and apps into one platform. That means less time ping-ponging between different tabs and tools and more time on your projects. So with Coda's extensive planning capabilities, you can stay aligned when managing planning cycles and while measuring objectives and key results. Plus, you can access hundreds of templates and get inspired by others in Coda's gallery. So over 50,000 teams across the world collaborate with Coda, from the New York Times to Square, from Toast to TED and Uber. So if you want a platform that enables and empowers your team to collaborate effectively and focus on shared goals, you can get started with Coda today for free. You can head over to coda.io/wave. So that's Coda, coda.io/wave to get started for free. coda.io/wave.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Let's talk tech. What if you were running a tech channel? What would a Mr. Beast, I think you asked something like this on Twitter, but like, what would the Mr. Beast tech channel look like? Would you still, I assume, focus straight to like how to make the best, most clickable tech entertainment, or would you go another route?
Yes, I like to say best, most interesting or innovative, just because clickable gives people bad connotations. You can make something clickable and it still be good content. Just because something's interesting, not you, just in general to people watching, doesn't mean it's bad. But there's, you know, a lot of people who try to cheat the system, which gives, I guess, clickbait a bad name. But yeah, 100%, no matter what vertical it is, always, I would spend at least an hour a day brainstorming video ideas. I don't as much anymore, just as a disclosure, just cause I'm sitting on a ton of ideas, and I did it for years, but to anyone else, like I would 100% every single day spend an hour brainstorming ideas. Cause an idea makes a difference between 1 million views and 50 million views. I'd rather just film one great video than 50 subpar videos. You can quote me on that. And then, so I would just brainstorm great ideas. I'd try my best to be original and innovative, because then if people only know they can only find your type of content there, then they're more likely to come to you, which obviously is harder with tech because everyone's going to be doing similar videos. But still, I don't care. If that's the bottleneck, I'll spend 5 days or 5 hours a day brainstorming how to make the videos different and original just so they stand out. And then, I would just make sure I'm always working 10 times more than everyone else, reinvesting every dollar I make and just going hard and just putting in as much effort as possible. And that just doesn't apply to tech, just literally anything. And if you're doing that, there's just no way people don't recognize it and don't prefer to watch you over someone else putting in a tenth the time, tenth the effort, a tenth the money, a tenth the everything, you know?
Yeah, I can vouch for that. You know what's kind of funny though about tech on YouTube is like the half of the audience is there like a regular channel, like the Mr. Beast channel, and maybe I'm guessing your numbers, but I feel like a lot of people watch right away because they're subscribed, and then the tail, the long tail, is probably a little bit less with search. You obviously have a long tail of people watching your videos, but people aren't usually searching running a mile in a marathon or in the largest shoes or something like that. With tech, it's like people are like searching for things to buy it, and you have to show up for those people who are looking to buy something and then deliver the best video. So it's half for those people, half for the subscribers. Is there any sort of balancing act in your world where there's like you separate your audience into buckets? Maybe there's the hyper passionate people who watch in the first day, and then there's like the people who sort of browse the homepage and find a Mr. Beast video for the first time.
Yeah. No, I mean, and what you brought up there is pretty thought provoking. Basically, a lot of people do go to your videos not for a spectacle, but rather to just know if they should buy the freaking product, right? So it's not as apples to apples with mine, which is true. I do have a bad habit sometimes of speaking in absolutes, because in tech, your content would definitely, if you apply everything I said, it might be to the detriment of some things that your viewers like. But still, even though people might be coming to see if they want to buy the product or searching for the product or whatever, like you mentioned, it doesn't necessarily have to be like, I bought 1,000 iPhones and made a collage of a tree or something like that. You could still go, not you, just in general, someone could still go extreme and just in that video where they like, you know, did funny things like, you know, sat on the iPhone for 24 hours straight or just random dumb little extra mile things that make it seem more like a spectacle. But that is a good point. You got to focus more on the product and less on the spectacle for the people who are watching to see if they should buy it.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of extra mile things you can kind of toss in that like any audience would appreciate for sure.
Exactly. And that's what I want to touch on, the extra mile stuff, right? I'm not telling people listening to this to go buy everything in 5 stores or do the dumb stuff I'm doing. I'm just telling you, put in effort, put as much effort in as you can. So I swear to God, the viewers can tell the difference, and like it really will pay off in the long run.
Facts. All right. Does anything surprise you about YouTube analytics anymore? Because I feel like once you spend, you know, once you spend a decade in it, you know, you feel like you've seen it all. You've seen every trend. You've seen the way the algorithm sort of has eventually started sorting things into like what makes a good video to recommend. Like, does anything surprise you anymore?
No. I love data and I love analytics, but to be honest, like the last year especially, I rarely look at it. I mean, I just, you know, after I upload a video, I look at the retention graph. I'm like, yeah, it's flat. It's good. Oh, there's a dip there. What did we do? Okay. And I text, you know, the boys. I'm like, hey, make sure we don't have a running joke a little too long or I'll text my editor. But outside of that, I mean, it's just, it's straightforward. You know, it's just make videos that people click and that they watch. And I, people get pissed off when I say that. They're like, Beast, it's not that simple. And I'm like, I swear it is. If people click your video and they watch longer than other videos, you're going to get promoted. It really is.
Just make videos people would want to watch, man. That's like the, that was my like guiding light core philosophy from the beginning. And I still like, anytime I get asked like, what advice would you give? I'm like, listen, if you never make a dollar from this, but you have fun, make what you'd want to watch, make it exist in the world. That's kind of the motto at this point.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I don't want to just, you know, give hustle porn to the people listening. Like at the end of the day, if you're not having fun, then you're not gonna, you know, do it long term. And like, that is the first and foremost thing, because just like both of us, it took us many, many, many years of just grinding away before we made any form of money and we got any form of success. And if like we weren't genuinely enjoying it, like we would have quit long before we did.
Yeah. All right. So one last question I got to ask.
Oh, only one more. I'm having fun.
I am. I mean, I don't want to take too much of your time, but you know, this is a tech podcast, so I got to ask the tech question.
Okay.
So it's a mandatory. Let me hear your favorite piece of tech from the past year and what phone's in your pocket right now.
Okay. Well, let's start off with the phone. I have the iPhone. There's two cameras with the light to the right. What is that? I don't even know.
Here we go. I think it's the 10. That sounds like the 10S.
Okay. So 10S. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Honestly, I'm just too lazy to move stuff over, but I definitely want to try out the newer iPhones. I've never owned an Android. I was really thinking of buying one and just giving it a try.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, it's just...
Should I recommend... would you like a recommendation?
Yes. No guarantees I'll switch, but if I have a free day, I might take you up on it. What would you recommend I buy?
Sure. I mean, okay, right now, by the time this podcast comes out, Galaxy S21 is going to come out. Mm-hmm. And that's just a huge phone with like every imaginable feature stuffed into it. So that's a fun one to consider. But if you're looking for just something different, I'll shout out the folding phones right now.
Oh,
like
God.
Galaxy Fold 2.
I'll pass on that. No, thank you.
I know it's like you don't want to make it the daily driver, but if you just want like a random fun gadget, I'm a big fan of those.
Okay. That'd be fun to pull out in front of the boys. Like everyone would always like freak out about it. Yeah, that's cool. And I watched your video on the Porsche. What, it's Taycan, right? Or
Taycan, yeah.
Yeah, Taycan. I don't want to buy it. I don't believe in having, or not don't believe, but I just don't want to have really nice cars. But I am thinking about like trying to rent it for a few days and taking it for a ride. Because you said if it wasn't for the charging stations that Tesla has, like you would prefer the Porsche over it, right? Or it'd be like basically the same?
Yeah, and it's funny. I just had an interview with someone who did a cross country run in like two days straight of driving in a Taycan across the country, and had like a better experience than he did in a Tesla, which was a really fascinating conversation. They're building that charging network very fast, so I don't think it's not problematic as much as it once was. But it's an awesome car. I think
and so that's something that I'm looking forward to, just because I really love Elon and. You know, I've read his biography multiple times and he means a lot to me. So I am curious how that shapes up against the Tesla. So I'm trying to rent them both and like rotate between driving them, because I just want to see how close his competition is to him. And I know in, you know, self-driving and stuff, Tesla's obviously winning, but still, that just came out of nowhere. I just saw your video and I was like, what is this? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. If you could collab with Elon, or if you could collaborate with anyone that you haven't collaborated with yet, which I imagine you could probably collab with just about anyone, who would it be?
Well, I mean, it would definitely be Elon. I mean, the two people I look up to the most are Elon and Steve Jobs. And obviously Steve isn't here, but Yeah, it's just, I would feel bad about wasting Elon's time. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like at this point I could get his attention if I wanted, but I'm just like, I'm just like, the dude's trying to save humanity. Just, I'm going to let him do his... Dude. Yo, you actually did a video with him. Tell me about that. Yeah. Now, let me interview you.
Well, see, okay, I think he'd be down. Because listen, I interviewed him, it was a couple years ago now, and this was at his all-time busiest, where you saw those stories about how he was like literally sleeping in the factory during mm-hmm. the Model 3 production ramp. But... as far as wasting his time, like, he's super down to just nerd out about the stuff in the factory and all the gadgets and the robots making the cars. And like, literally off camera, before we even fired the cameras up and talked, it was like we were nerding out about the cameras and the stabilizers and the stuff we were about to shoot with. So
really,
I feel like if you could come up with, I'd be so curious what like a Mr. Beast collab with Elon would look like, because it could be kind of anything. But I feel like it wouldn't feel like a waste of time. It would feel like a lot of fun. And he's kind of out of that whole production ramp thing. I don't know if you heard about how great Tesla's doing right now. So mm-hmm. I think it would be pretty
what?
Sweet.
What? So you're saying I should dump all my savings in Tesla stock?
Well, that might be a little late.
Kidding.
But I think a Mr. Beast Elon collab is much in the cards.
When's this podcast going up? What date?
Probably a week from tomorrow.
Okay, a week from tomorrow. So, because on January 23rd, We have something big coming out. I might have told you. We can't talk about it now until then. But So something like that. I'm curious to see what he thinks of it. To anyone listening, I'm sorry for blueballing you. But one last thing. Now that I got my Elon fix from you, you've been to Apple Park, right?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. So, well, actually, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it or anything. I was just curious what that building looks like, because obviously, I'm just really fascinated by that. And, you know, that was something Steve Jobs spent some of the last few years of his life working on. So it seems really cool.
Oh, yeah. It is kind of, I think, unreal is the word. It's very picturesque. Like, it's a circle, right? Mm-hmm. But if you stand, like, right next to the side of, like, one of the outside walls and look, it looks like a straight line. Like, that's how big the circle is.
Oh my god!
So this is a gigantic, like, spaceship-shaped saucer of a building, glass from top to bottom. Like, everyone in there is obviously super talented, but they managed to make it look even better than that in all their videos and their events. We rave about this stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, it's just very, like, they don't let you go in and, like, talk to people working, but everything we see as, like, press going to the theater and going to the gym and the studio and the food court, like, is incredible. Like, it's a one of a kind building. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I really, really want to I don't even want to go inside. I just want to walk around it. I just feel like that would be a really dope experience.
Yeah, I think that would be, next iPhone event, I'll tell them I need to bring an extra camcorder, camera person. And I'll let you come, and then you can walk around.
I'm down.
See what you can
see. I'm
literally
down. I will fly there, be your cameraman, just so I can break away and just go, just walk around the building and see stuff. That'd be really cool.
They probably have amazing security, but we'll see.
I'm having fun. I mean, let's keep going though. I know you're winding down. I'm gonna reject it. What else do you want to talk about?
All right. So you talked about, I think you tweeted this about, like, if you could buy stock in a YouTube channel in Ooh. Some way, like if you could invent some mechanism of, like, investing in a channel that you know is going to blow up. Mm-hmm. One, what would you look for in a channel that is a telltale sign that they're going to blow up? Mm-hmm. And two, what's a channel you might invest in right now?
Okay. All right. So at the start, I would say a channel that is going to blow up, a good sign is that they are being creative and they are making good content, because it's a lot easier, and I know so many people that fit this mold, to teach someone who knows how to make great content and has good pacing, good storytelling, good ideas, good energy, good just all around vibes, right? How to make a good title and thumbnail, than it is to teach, which I know tons of people like this, people who make good titles and thumbnails, but just don't know a single thing about making an entertaining video. Like, everything's just so off. Like, it's so much harder to teach them filmmaking than it is to teach a filmmaker how to just hire a guy to make a thumbnail for him. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that would definitely be a good sign, because even though, like, they're both polar opposite problems, both people, like, someone great with titles and thumbnails would probably get the same amount of views with someone who makes great content but has, you know, terrible titles and thumbnails, because views go up exponentially, and the better you are at both, the more views you get. Anyways, so yeah, I would definitely pick someone who's just naturally gifted at filmmaking. And then someone currently small, that I would invest in. There's this one guy that he biked. I don't even want to say because I don't want to encourage people. Don't do this. No one tried to give me anything. I knew he was coming, or I didn't know he was coming, but he messaged me, so it didn't catch me off guard. But he biked across America and gave me a penny, and he had really good energy. I think it's Tucker. I don't remember his last name. But if you just search biking across America and give him Mr. Beast a penny, like, I think he'll be really big. Actually, the video he did with me, like, and he was averaging like 10,000 views a video, but when he gave me a penny, it got like 4 million views. So that did really well for him. Who else is there? I mean, like, there's this one channel called Tyler Oliveira. I mean, he's technically not super small. I think he has like 1.5 million subscribers, but I think he's going to be a really big YouTuber one day. He kind of gets things, and he's down to grind, but I think he's just like lost in trying to figure out what his actual like content is. For example, I met Dream when Dream didn't even have 2 million subscribers, right? And
you met the in-person Dream.
I didn't meet him in person, but yeah, I talked to him online. And I just, after talking to him for like 30 minutes, literally the first thing I did when I got off the phone is I called one of my friends that I love talking about data on YouTube with, and I just said, Dream's gonna blow up. I was like, this Dream guy, like, it's one of the few times like I've talked to a YouTuber and like I just don't feel bored. Like, he really gets it. He understands things. Like, I was like, I swear to God, he's gonna blow up. And he's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. I was like, and then I started talking to Dream, you know, pretty frequently, just because I like to stay in touch with people who know what they're doing. And sure enough, he ended the year with like 15 million subscribers, which, you know, like I said, 2 million is still a decent amount, but you can just tell when you talk to people by their passion and drive, like, if they're gonna do well. But yeah. Cut me off whenever, because I'll go for the next hour on about
stuff
like this.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
All right, here's maybe the biggest question. I'm just gonna use your time for free because you're giving me so much good stuff. Critique my channel.
Oh, really?
When you look at the MKBHD YouTube channel, I already told you my thumbnails happen in the last like half hour of the process, but what do you like look at it and go, man, Marquez just doesn't do enough this, or MKBHD channel could really benefit from a second channel or some random thing? What do you see when you like first glance at a channel like that?
Okay. So we'll just take your newest video. What happened to OnePlus? I mean, what is that black arrow pointing to?
So there's a one phone on one side, which is their 10-year-old first phone ever, and then there's all their new phones on the right side.
I had no idea. So, I mean, there you go. I have no idea what any of that is. So, I mean, sure, to your core audience, that, you know, they'll understand it and they'll click. But if you're just trying to grab people who aren't into tech like me, like, I literally just see a white phone and an arrow to other phones that look identical to me. So it doesn't make me want to click.
Got it.
2021 tech, I'm ready for. That one's interesting. I like the Cybertruck. I probably would have made the Cybertruck bigger, because like I would click that just because I'm like, what the fuck, you know, the Cybertruck's coming out this year, that's interesting. But then everything on the left just looks the same. Like, see that orange and purple thing on the left?
Yeah,
I can't even tell what that is.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those weird rollable phones, and then the other thing is also, it's the iPhone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cybertruck's cool, but just everything on the left, it just, again, and this is the thing, right? And I nitpick the heck out of my thumbnails too. It's like, what you have there is good. And obviously that's why you get the views you get. But there's like, no matter what, there's always something that can be improved. There's always something that could be better. You know what I mean? There's literally no such thing as a perfect thumbnail. So that's why, like, anyone listening, like, this isn't me saying like what he's doing is dumb. It's just like making a 1% change every week makes you 50% better at the end of the year, you know?
That's a great way of looking at it. You know what I also have? I have this giveaway video. I'm giving away 24 PS5s and 24 Xbox Series X. I made what I think is an awesome thumbnail, and I have another YouTube analytics unconfirmed theory that because the video's instructing you to click a link that leaves YouTube, basically you go enter on Twitter, I think YouTube low-key doesn't like that very much. And when they see a video sending a bunch of traffic away from YouTube, they probably end up suppressing it a little bit and keeping the videos that, you know, bounce you around within YouTube a little bit higher up. Does that hold any water?
Well, so two things. Obviously, videos that have high AVD and AVP, average view duration, average view percentage, get promoted more. So videos where you drive people off the site, right? It's a little bit of causation, correlation, all these things that get blurred. Like, you know, you are just technically just killing the video's retention. So of course, it's just naturally going to do worse because people didn't watch it as long, right? And then, but yes, you are 100% correct. I am fairly certain too, like that they have session time from the time you start you watching videos on YouTube to when you stop. That's your session. And obviously part of what they factor in is like, you know, does this video lead to a longer session time or does this video just killing their session time? Right. Cause like, they're not going to funnel 10 million views to a video that, you know, 90% of people watch to get pushed off platform. You know what I mean?
Right.
But also Google has infinite data and knows everything. And so at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they're just like, oh, well, did they leave for 5 minutes and come back or did they leave and not come back till the next day? And they probably factor stuff like that in. But yeah, there's let me put it this way, right? Because I have people ask me this all the time. There is no benefit that comes to the views on your video from driving people off the platform. That is just a factual statement. There's no way driving people off it helps. So which means it can only hurt. You know what I mean?
Right. That makes sense. I have all kinds of weird random theories like that, but I feel like that one is pretty fundamental.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right, I need to go spend the next 3 hours on my next video's thumbnail, which is going to be the Galaxy S21 impressions. I'm going to go spend at least, a couple hours on the thumbnail and title and make sure it's exactly what I would click. And we'll see how it does.
I'm excited. And the thing is, don't make too drastic of a change because clearly, I mean, how many views are you on this month? You're MKBHD. I mean, like, you're killing it. Like, people love you. People love your content. There's a reason why you get views. Again, anyone listening, like, don't just try to fix things overnight. Like, just try to do small incremental changes and just always be improving. And in a year, you'll be happy you do.
Yeah. If you get 1% better, what would you say? 1% better every
week. I hate when people go, if you just get 1% better every day, it's not realistic. But 1% every week in a year, you'll be 50% better. Do it for 5 years and you're unstoppable.
Printing that out, man. Hi. Jimmy, thanks for the time.
No problem.
I got to kick you out. I'm kicking you off the Waveform podcast.
No. Okay. Well, I had fun. Genuinely, like, I love talking about YouTube and yeah, since this was all about YouTube, this is probably some of the most fun I've ever had doing a podcast. So I appreciate you having me.
For sure. We'll have to do it again sometime. This is going to be a video podcast sometime this year. So we'll get you back on.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man.
Do I leave?
All right. So that's been it. That's the interview. We probably could have talked for way longer about YouTube.
He wanted to, it sounded like.
You could hear it in his voice, but we had to cut it. Listen, I think we should talk to more creators on the podcast. I know it's always a fun conversation. And the thing you notice when talking to people who aren't in tech YouTube is sometimes you feel like, oh, we're in kind of a little bubble here. Like there's a whole world of other things happening on this very platform.
I think on other platforms too.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it before, but we would love to get a full-time streamer up here.
Twitch streamer we got to talk to. We got to talk to all kinds of creators in all these different genres. But that was a fun way to start. Thanks, Jimmy, for the time. We'll probably do it again sometime. And thanks for listening.
Waveform was brought to you in part with Studio 71, and our intro outro music was created by Cameron Barlow.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously, hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.